Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You what I listening in the close day? He's doing gun. He's through self family.
You home. Have a job, oh, walk me, son. The girls that like that love.
That was Jabberwock by DJ Francois of the 7th Legion of the Infernal Warlords of the Dark Bubble That Shall Not Pop. A lot of people think it will, but I disagree. They're pretty powerful warlords. This is the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast. You are a sentient being, a constellation of cells, a constellation of subatomic particles, atoms, neutrons, neutrinos, quarks, gluons, and a million other things we haven't quantified yet, all foaming together in this wonderful moment of self-awareness, which is why you're probably going to enjoy this conversation with Raghu Marcus. Raghu Marcus is one of the people who helps run the Love Server Member Foundation, which is Ram Dass's foundation. If you're not aware of Ram Dass, you should check out, I guess, his most famous book, Be Here Now. He's got millions of others. I've actually started re-listening to Experiments in Truth, which is available on Audible. And it's sort of an autobiography, I guess you could say. It starts with his journey into the psychedelic realm before anybody knew what that was, and then his journey into the spiritual realm when he traveled to India because he was being frustrated about the fact that he kept coming down. And not just that, he was a brilliant intellectual Harvard professor. And like any psychologist in those days, they were very curious about what psychedelics were doing to human consciousness. And he wanted to know if there were any maps out there for the states of consciousness made available by the variety of weird psychedelics he and many of his associates were taking. So Raghu also traveled to India. It was lifelong friends with Ram Dass. They share Neem Karoli Baba as their guru. They're both lucky enough, along with a lot of other people in the Ram Dass community, to get to hang out with this wild being. And I am lucky because I get to hang out with people who hung out with this being. And I know it sounds weird when you say being, but something about these people, even though they're very human, they're not aliens, there's something otherworldly about them, or extra-worldly, not in the sense of worldly as in being decadent, hedonistic, selfish, but in the sense as being almost a mouthpiece for the universe itself. And the Earth is part of the universe. I'm already rambling too much. I don't need to ramble much more. The conversation you're about to hear, it's very personal. One of the things that I try to do whenever I'm having a kind of formal conversation with people like Raghu is just present to them exactly what's going on with me and not try to put too much lipstick on the fish. Because I've noticed that with Raghu, Jack Kornfield, Sharon Salzberg, Trudy Goodman, Krishna Das, all the other people that hopefully I've introduced you to via this podcast, they have a knack for alchemizing my neurosis into something that is at least slightly more bearable. So this is a wonderful spiritual conversation with one of my teachers and best friends in the world. Before we jump into it, very quickly, I got some shows coming up. You can find all these shows at duncantrussell.com. I'm going to be in San Francisco, not this weekend, but I'm going to be in Wise Guys, Las Vegas, April 26th and 27th. And you can catch me at Cobb's Comedy Club, May 3rd and May 4th. Then I'm headed over to the Milwaukee Improv, May 9th through the 11th. Catch a little break. Then I'm back at one of my favorite clubs on planet Earth, Helium in Portland. That's May 30th and 31st. And June 1st. There's lots more dates coming up. You can find all of them at duncantrussell.com. If you want commercial-free episodes of the DTFH, you can subscribe at patreon.com/DTFH. And the final plug here is that Raghu and I, for a long time, we basically recorded an audiobook. I guess you could call it an extended podcast. It's called The Movie of Me to the Movie of We. And you can find that on Audible. And if you like this conversation, definitely grab the Audible, because the entire Audible is a combination of us talking mixed in with some other spiritual teachers and insights that we've gotten from them. So that's The Movie of Me to the Movie of We. You can find that on Audible. Now, everybody, welcome to the DTFH, Raghu Marcus. Raghu, it's great to see you.
Always great to be here, Duncan.
I have something I want to talk about with you that I think you, more than most people I know, are probably aware of. And I don't think it gets brought up enough when people are having conversations about spirituality or the path or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
The trajectory of awakening. I want to talk about this, your thoughts on how circuitous this stuff can be. Because I am in between periods of having a stable practice. I just went through probably the longest period of daily meditation, twice a day, listening to great audiobooks on Buddhism, and was really experiencing that reality that happens when you have a daily practice. Suddenly everything's organized. I'm clean. I'm not losing my keys as much. My wallet is much. The relationship with Aaron is better. Relationship with the kids is better. And then as an experiment, I thought, what happens if I just don't do this for one day? So I stopped. I've been listening to this Buddhist stuff, and they're always like, don't get attached to your practice. You should stop that sometimes too. And now I can't get back into it. It's so frustrating. And not just that, but it's like watching this old incarnation appear again. I'm messier. I'm a little more confused, a little more, sort of just lost than I was. So what are your thoughts on this aspect of the spiritual path?
We're fuck-ups, period. That's all you got to know. I've lost my keys. I got my regular practice. I spent 2 months time looking for a very special mailbox key for the foundation. There's only one of them in existence.
Yeah.
So that was really frustrating. Then you and I had a podcast with Sharon Salzberg. I completely screwed that up. You were right, and you're usually wrong. So when you thought you were right, I thought, no, he's wrong because he's always wrong about the timings of shit. So, I wandered into that zone myself. Oh, God.
That's it. We're fuck-ups. That's it. You just say, I'm a fuck-up.
No. Well, as Jack would say, we're human, so it's okay.
It's not okay in the sense that if you were some singular individual and you didn't have a family, you didn't have a foundation you were running, then it would be okay. But when you start realizing how much you're impacting the people around you by some lack of attention on the basics, and the basics that we've all heard from people like Sharon Salzberg, from people like Jack Kornfield, Roshi Joan Halifax, Ram Dass, that you actually are not just hurting yourself, but by proxy, they have to deal with the neurotic, worried, anxious, unstable version of you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I hate, you know, cheap plugs are going to happen, but there's nothing I can do about it.
Okay.
Last night, I did a Dharma thing with a talk online to kick off our Reimagine the Life and Teachings of Ram Dass.
Yeah.
So I started going through it. So you know how many perspectives Ram Dass brought up over his lifetime. I mean, it really covered all the bases. So, you know, there's the one that is so wonderfully embraced by his story of the spacesuit. We wear a spacesuit. We are completely uncomfortable in it, but we are comfortable with the story we tell ourselves. So, you know, here we are in this spacesuit until the moment comes when a different perspective lands.
Yeah.
And those of us that get that should be very, very grateful for that fact. So it's the peekaboo thing. Psychedelics say, you get it. You just get enough of a view so that things start to open up, right? And you realize, wow, there is a way that's to get out of this. Just to get out of this pain of being in that spacesuit, right? Which with all of your identities and roles and all, the classic Ram Dass stuff. And then it goes on to, next stage is you actually maybe do a little bit of practice and a little blue sky comes through the clouds of the bullshit that we encounter on a daily basis. Little blue sky, you know. And then it goes all the way to, wow, Ram Dass is loving awareness where we're not judging ourselves, right? And if we're not judging ourselves, we probably have a better chance of not judging the people around us. So just to point to in answer to this dilemma of falling off the wagon or just feeling like, okay, now I'm screwed up. I can't get back into the flow. I got out of the flow because I was just screwing around with it, but I can't get back into it. When you look at all of these different perspectives, like the first one, the spacesuit, which is really, we're talking about survival. So all we are is defense mechanisms to make sure that our shit is surrounded by a moat and we're going to protect ourselves and everything we believe in, the family, the friends, the our little cut of society. So we're going to protect all that. So then we graduate to these other spaces that allow us to see more clearly what it is that is the potential of our lives, which in the East would be called getting with our Dharma.
Yeah.
Ram Dass talked a lot about, listen, the karma that you have that presents all these different situations is perfect to really let you combine into the Dharma that you are. But here's the point, and it's my, when you mentioned, you know, falling off the wagon, meditation wagon, whatever, I thought of this. It's not, you know, it's not sequential. Okay, I saw that we're not just this body with this reactive bullshit defense mechanism, survival instinct. We realize that and we've moved on. But in fact, all of these things are happening at the same time.
Right.
And you're going to fall in, you're going to fall out, there'll be a new perspective. Without falling off the wagon, so to speak, you can't get the wisdom that's needed to open up these vistas much further as you suddenly, you know, you may have a wake up again. We did an ayahuasca session and some stuff came out that I really started to understand some of this trauma that my life is based on. You know, every step of the way, it opens up a little further. And that can only happen by stepping back in the shit.
Okay, let's talk about stepping in shit. Because this, making stuff. I'm familiar with the waveform of creating stuff now. Like, I understand that when I am completely blocked and no ideas are coming to me and I don't feel inspired, that is just part of the waveform. That if you can endure it, an idea will pop into your head at some random moment, and then suddenly you're back on the wagon making stuff, and it's a joy. And it's painful in between moments of inspiration. But with the spiritual stuff, it seems to be the same kind of waveform. It doesn't seem very different at all. The difference being that getting back into your shit or falling off the wagon or whatever you want to call it, it's more painful. Like, it's the worst. Like, once you have that glimpse and then you stabilize the glimpse and you start experiencing the stuff you've only been reading about but haven't experienced, it becomes such a joy. And then when it's like you lose it, it's, for me, it's just so brutal. Like, and yet that's not enough to get me back on the cushion. That's not enough to get me back to where I was for some reason. Almost like I'm enjoying wallowing in the shit or something. Enjoying
the... Yes. Absolutely. 100%. I mean, it's the way we beat ourselves up that's really the key. And by the way, you just put spirituality into one kind of bucket and then artistic inspiration into another bucket,
right?
You know, and then you have another bucket is what we've been discussing, stepping in the shit, falling off the wagon. This, to me, in my experience, there's only one thing going on, which is the nature of consciousness, which is the opening up from inside out into, in my world, your world. There's nothing else. And that inspiration, that in terms of the creative process, stems from that, from our deepest nature, right? And so I like to think of it as just there's only one bucket, and in that bucket we're mucking around, you know. We're problematic because of you know, we're not free, and we're human, and we're gonna screw up, we're gonna make mistakes, and in that, you know, you really do find deeper part of yourself through pain and suffering. I mean, it's, as Ram Dass said, I'm not looking for it, but when it's there, I realize that that's my, you know, as he called it, grist for the mill. So,
grist for the mill.
But, you know, you're saying something truthful too, human, which is every time it happens, as you get further along the way, you just are like, oh my God, I can't get back now, and I'm like enjoying just, you know, wallowing in whatever. And you know, we can wallow for quite a while, and it's okay. It's the when we're judging it, which, you know, you seem to be doing, I'm doing, then we have a very difficult time to surrender into that deeper place. Because we're judging ourselves, you know. It's very difficult what we do. It really is. It's
it's not just me judging me. It's like, you know, Aaron fell off a horse.
Yeah.
Broke her wrist. God.
Yeah.
And I love her. I care for her. But I got pissed. Like, why are you on a horse? What are you doing? And like, so suddenly my ability to like be the person that I would love to be, this open, compassionate, servant being, it was being completely overridden by just selfish irritation, annoyance, fear. Like, what if it had stomped your fucking head in or something like that, you know? And so I'm not the only one judging me. Somebody who's just broken their wrist and is realizing that the person tending to them is annoyed is going to say, justifiably, I think, what Aaron said, which is like, what? Where's your Buddhist bullshit? Who is this? What is this? Well, you know, and I'm making it sound a little funnier than it actually was, but
I bet.
that's the other part of it. I don't know why the algorithm has started on Instagram giving me fundamentalist Christian reels, which are just a lot of the time just almost unbearable. But one popped up where some Christian is saying, if people hate you because you love Jesus, that's fine. But if people don't like Jesus because of the way you're acting as a Christian, now that's a problem. And so that's where you sort of get into the deeper levels of Buddhism, which is if you are announcing to people that this is your path, and then you're not meeting like the standards, you don't agree with that. You can throw people. You make it seem like bullshit. You make it seem like, you know, you make it seem like a hobby or something when you get into the shit. And this is why sometimes I scratch my chin, though I obviously love Ram Dass. And I love the self-compassion, the kindness to the self. Sometimes I think, but maybe sometimes that isn't the answer. Maybe sometimes the answer is, this is more important than frivolity, than enjoying being in the shit or saying, oh, this is part of my path. Actually, you owe it to like yourself and all sentient beings to take care of that dip in the waveform as quickly as possible.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Maybe sometimes the answer is, this is more important than frivolity, than enjoying being in the shit or saying, oh, this is part of my path. Actually, you owe it to like yourself and all sentient beings to take care of that dip in the waveform as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, God, we really kill ourselves. Unbelievable. We really do. And that, you know, you can never forget that, the human part. You know, it's we can operate on more than one plane of consciousness at the same time. Absolutely, 100%. And you're beating yourself to death over what seems to be this new reality. It changed. You had a reality where you spent all of this time really creating a habitual pattern that was really productive for you, which was, you know, meditation schedule, whatever you were doing. And then suddenly, wait a minute, what's this? And you just let it go. And now you're this is perfect, really. I mean, now you've let it go, and then you're realizing what the results are by letting that go. So there is a something involved with the reality of mindfulness, of practice. I mean, it's real. It allows one to really touch the deeper part of ourselves, from which we have this, you know, as Ram Dass said, the loving awareness perspective. And then you can look at this and go, wow, this is really great. This is great. I think, I think I'll wallow a little bit more. I mean, I do it, you know, watching basketball. You know, there's another game. I can watch that game too. It's just part of our nature. And it has to be loved. It really does. Because otherwise, what are you doing? You're just sitting around second guessing absolutely everything in your life, you know.
Well, so that's where, to me, it gets really interesting and scary. Because this is, I was just talking to my friend about this. If you've ever heard the term slave morality?
Slave morality? I don't think so. Tell me.
So slave morality would be tricking yourself into thinking you're a good person when really you're kind of a coward. In other words, you believe because you're adhering to some societal norms that you're good. But the reason you're adhering to the societal norms is not because you're good. It's because you don't want to get caught. And so you've tricked yourself into thinking you're a good person when really you're just afraid of consequence. You're afraid of getting arrested. You're afraid of whatever it may be. You're afraid of the guilt that might come from behaving in a way that doesn't match default reality's view of what a good person is. And so this is where the spirituality Ram Dass talks about and what you're talking about, it starts veering away from slave morality. It starts veering away from that, because a big part of slave morality is that you police yourself.
Why is it slave morality? I don't get it. Explain it to me.
Why is it called slave morality?
Yeah.
Well, it's called slave morality because it puts you in a sort of underdog, cowering position where you, instead of fully being yourself, you're being sort of some version of yourself that is that is wrapped up in chains that are all of the ideas that you haven't really explored regarding right from wrong. And another reason it's called slave morality is because those ideas happen to be the ideas that if you wanted there to be like a non-questioning working class, if you wanted, like, in other words, like people who, a lot of the people who are, they call the global elites or the super wealthy, they don't follow the same systems of morality or ethics. And the gen pop is usually astounded when we find out that this person or that person did some awful thing. Oh my God, can you believe it? But that's totally normal because they're not adhering to societal norms. They're outside of it now. Realm of the gods or whatever, you know? This is for people supporting a family. This is for people maintaining a job. And so that stuff gets baked into you from a very young age. And that creates the situation of deploring oneself for breaking some rules or ideas that that you've never even explored. And so when you're talking about this stuff, where it gets scary for me, and I think for most people, is there's an invitation in what you're saying to maybe see what happens if you don't police yourself in the way that you have been. Maybe you don't need to penalize yourself and torture yourself because you have behaved in this way or that way. What happens if you give the police in your head a week off? Now what are you? Without the encumbrance of the moral ethical systems that you place on yourself. And with spirituality, it's very easy to look at those guidelines, apply them to oneself, and then forget to apply the other thing which is in those guidelines, which is you have to be compassionate with yourself about this stuff. You've got to let yourself go off the path. You have to let yourself, and not just let yourself, but when you do go off the path, like what you're saying, stop flogging yourself mentally when it happens. There's something, I guess, in me that's afraid that if I back off of myself, then I will only spiral.
You're a raving maniac running naked in the streets.
Yeah. That, exactly. Yeah. Like, how much is permissible then? how much, like, if we can wallow in our own shit, then how much can I? There's piles of shit I have yet to wallow in. How far can I burrow down into my, like, karmic desire self, and it's still permissible? Or is it all permissible? Is it all permissible? Is it all just part of the path?
This is all, you know, this is pretty much mental construct, though. I mean, these are thoughts and ideas about what we believe we should be or what we should not be, how we interact with society, how we interact from career point of view. This is all mental construct, as far as I can see. The reality is, in the whole purpose, spirituality is not a thing. There's a reality to us being born into this body, this incarnation, and you study Buddhism from here to forever. The reality is getting deeper into what they call true nature. Yeah. That is our purpose. And what is part of that? That is the most simplistic stuff, which is just being kind to people, being compassionate, being kind to yourself and compassionate to yourself. But it's whenever we get involved with the construct of and yours is a simple case, I stopped the regular meditation practice, and now I can't get back into it because I'm kind of feeling just fine, but you're not feeling fine because we're going through a whole thing here about how you're not feeling fine. So you're not going to feel fine for a while, maybe not, maybe tonight it'll be different. But the reality is that something deeper will happen through this experience in this most simplistic way. And as you started out to say in the very beginning of this podcast, is there a sequential program here in terms of getting free? And I say it's not sequential at all. It all takes place at one time or another, hodgepodge, because we're human and we are going to stop meditating thinking, I wonder what happened if I just stopped meditating, because my life is pretty even now. I've got a lot of, it sounds like you had a lot of balance, basically.
Yeah.
And now you're feeling imbalance. And
totally.
To feel that is to get deeper into what real balance is. You can't do it without some, not very fun stuff happening. I mean, for many people, of course, wake up when really severe stuff happens. Yeah. That leads to an awakening, or obviously through the usual methodology of ethnogens, etc., psychedelics. So it always goes back to it's okay because we're human.
Right.
It's okay. And as far as thinking that we are really backtracking related to the norms that we, morality norms that we set up for ourselves, backtrack. You can't, because once you realize, especially with a psychedelic, once you realize the interconnected nature of everything, which is so prominent in everyone's experience at one point or another, once you realize that, then you can't backtrack, because you can't keep fucking people. You can't do it. You can't keep manipulating. It's our book. I'm going to plug it. The movie of me to the movie of we. Okay?
Yeah.
You just absolutely want to be able to be kinder, more compassionate, more generous, period. And once that happens, we fall off all the time of that brass ring, shall we say. But the reality is, it's perfect to fall off. Perfect.
Why is that so much more difficult to hear than "you're a bad boy"? Why is it somehow more difficult to hear that? I don't. That's what's so weird about the instruction. You know, to hear that, is it because we're suddenly confronted with our own self-harm? Is it because suddenly we're confronted with our own violence, and suddenly you just realize, like, you're the one at war with yourself here? Like, that's the last war. Like, if you could finally stop that, even if stopping it means, yeah, you're going to be a slob for a little while, you're going to get addicted to video games, yeah, you're going to whatever. But that would be better, maybe, than to be all tight and self and judging yourself, trying to adhere to some fantastical notion of what an enlightened being would look like. Then, you know, that would be better to be whatever you happen to be at some given time than to be crucifying yourself on an imaginary
absolutely
construct.
Yep.
Why is absolutely that so hard? Why is that so hard to accept for me? Why am I like this?
Wait, you had a... I would have to get paid a lot more money to advise that. Oh, God. I mean, listen, I can say the same thing you're saying exactly in a, you know, from my own experience. What happened to me the other day? My housekeeper decided to accidentally unplug the power supply to the TV just before Golden State Warriors were going to play. Okay.
Wow.
And so I couldn't find, I have a setup where you can't really reach behind the damn TV. This is the worst thing that could have happened.
Yeah.
And I'm there with my partner, with Katrina, and screaming epithets. And just like, I'm going to fire right now.
Yeah.
I think I'll call her right now.
Yeah.
I mean, just completely lost. Anyhow, obviously, it got settled. I found the input. And then I did what you're doing now. I cannot believe that I'm reacting over some technology bullshit that and blaming somebody else. Well, of course, she did do it, but still. And it was like, it's like a setback, and I felt really bad.
Yes.
You know, I've decades of this stuff I've been doing.
Yes.
Oh, I have a better example.
Okay.
This is even better. Yeah. I'm in India, and I'm with, we'll have to give some context here, a saint named Siddhi Ma, who was very close to Neem Karoli Baba, and was like our Indian mother for decades. I mean, just incredible being. Anyhow, she was close to Krishnadas, close to me, and close to the people that were there in the beginning with Ramdas.
Yeah.
So anyhow, someone said, she's sitting with people, go on in. So I go in, and Krishnadas was already there, and he was on the right-hand side, not closer to her. I was in the back with a group of people. And she's carrying on this conversation with Krishnadas. And not even hello, namaste. I didn't get nothing. And I'm sitting there going, I can't believe fucking Krishnadas is taking all
attention.
He's just absorbing the attention and the energy and everything. What, you know, and I'm having this. And then the next thought was, holy crap. Oh, God, after all these years, you're still going through the fucking jealousy with Krishnadas?
Yeah.
You know, in this situation? And as soon as I had that thought, and this is, of course, the beauty of being around, free being. As soon as I had that thought, she goes, Raghu, and points at me.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, God, okay.
It
goes back to, okay, I'm a human fuck up like everybody else, though I've had these decades, you know. I have a couple more decades on you, but it's the same thing. That's why I think the crux of this is these things happen, you know. We get into our survival jealous mode, and then, you know, we It's like going through a buzzsaw, and it hurts more each time.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle.
With ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
These things happen, you know, we get into our survival jealous mode, and then, you know, it's like going through a buzzsaw, and it hurts more each time.
That is it. See, that's, I'm so glad you said that, because that is the thing I'm noticing. Whereas, like, if I'm stuck trying to invent some dumb song about a diaper that analyzes your urine so it can feed you, like, better stuff on TikTok, that sucks. But I'm not, you know, I'm not killing myself over that, but this is, every time it happens, it does feel worse. It does feel, and then I get worried because I think, well, what is this situation? Is it a split personality? Am I accidentally bifurcating my identity into the part of me that is in what I think, it might sound cheesy, but I think it, you could call it almost a romance, when it follows the same pattern of a romance, when, you know, you, there's somebody, you're at a party, you notice somebody, and you think maybe they notice you, but you're not sure. And then if you're me, you're like, there's no way that person is interested in me. And then, but then you run into the person again and you talk, and then suddenly you start realizing, I think there's something here. And it's the same thing with meditation. It's the same thing with seeing this other place. Is it when you see it, And you stabilize it, which takes forever just to get to the point where when you see it, you don't go, holy fuck, I saw it. And then you don't see it anymore. When you see it, and then you stabilize it. So you start getting more of a sense of what it might be. Then how do you not fall in love with that? Now you're in love with it, and you want it because it's all you would want in the world. It's better than anything in the world. And so you just want it. And for me, even as I'm like, you know, I got in this great practice of every night washing whatever dishes were left, cleaning the kitchen, and as I'm feeling happy as I'm doing that, but I just started thinking, it's going to go away. You're not going to keep this up. And it's the same fucking feeling of like, I'm going to lose this person. There's no way I'm holding on to this. And so then you get, even in the midst of it, you get this sense of sadness because you're like, I can't stabilize it this long, like for sure, based on the past, based on the way my karma seems to be or the way I habitually do this stuff. I am sure as shit in a matter of time gonna be laying in bed with fucking cups all around me and cereal bowls, smelling like shit, looking at fucking Drudge Report. You know what I mean? Like, I don't deserve her. And then it's gone, and then it hurts. It's like hurts. Because also the other reason it hurts is when you study Buddhism long enough, they nail into your mind, you're gonna fucking die. Remember that. You're gonna die. So there's no guarantee that when you die, you're gonna be in a meditative space. You might die with the
Rinpoche.
So it hurts. And I don't think this gets brought up. This is maybe when I think of all the spiritual lectures I've heard, when I think of all the teachings that I've heard, where is the conversation about the burn? Where is the conversation about the burn of going back into your old life? And also, is it good to create this split personality between the sacred you and the depraved you?
Impermanence, it's called anitya.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the realizations through practice that the Buddhists emphasize extraordinarily, don't they?
Yeah.
Impermanence. And so you can count on it. You can count on it that whatever it is that you're enjoying isn't going to last. You can count on it, whatever it is that you're completely horrified about, that's not going to last either.
Right.
So conceptually, it's right on. Impermanence, it's right on. But this is, again, intellectual, right?
Where
you think about these things. And when you're up, when you know rubber meets the road, you react. Like I reacted to my television being unplugged, and I had something that I really needed to watch in that moment. And you're reacting to this sudden loss of what seemed to be a beautiful habitual pattern that you created, and which, by the way, is what is primarily what we need to do.
Yeah.
Need, meaning if you want to be a little happier, if you want to be a little bit more balanced, have more equilibrium in your life, then you tend to want to do these kinds of things which support that. So now I'm back to square one with reacting to a ridiculous goddamn thing. And you're square one dropping something and feeling guilty about it.
Yeah. Know? Well, the reason I feel guilty about it is because, like, okay, so my mom dies of breast cancer, and I have all kinds of guilt about the way I was then. And
what then? You were terrific. What do you mean?
No. Well, I don't think there's any way. Back then, especially, I just, you know, I just feel guilty. I wish I'd been there more. I went on the road when I shouldn't have.
Yeah, okay, I got all that.
So here's Aaron laid up. I have to go on the road to do shows. I'm only thinking about myself. I'm like, I'm going to be exhausted. There's no way. I'm going to be freaked out on stage. I'm going to be exhausted. I have so much to do. I'm not proud of this at all. I mean, this is why I'm bringing it up with you. It's really fucked with my head.
Really?
Because it's an echo. Like Aaron, thank God, is a broken wrist. It's not like, you know, some terminal prognosis, though.
Yeah.
You know, I think the pain she was feeling maybe made her wish it was. And yet here I am again, perfect opportunity to serve somebody who's sick. And all I'm doing is thinking about my own sleep, my own inconvenience, my own just, you know, why blaming? Why did you? It was making her so fucking happy riding horses. And yet here I am. Oh, why would you do something that made you happy? Like all of it. And you know, so I think the disturbing thing about this, or seeing the kind of karmic patterns in your own life, is you realize, like, even though you think you've purified yourself to some degree, you think that when that opportunity arises again, you will have learned from your mistakes, and you won't sink back into self-cherishing. And yet, fuck, there it was. Like on Price is Right, you keep getting on the Price is Right, and you keep guessing the wrong fucking thing on the Price is Right, and finally you get back on and you've guessed the wrong thing again. And then it's like, how long, Raghu? How long do we have to do these loops? And it's scary because I'm thinking, oh, it's like lifetimes, hundreds more of these fucking echoes. And there's something in that that is not spiritual feeling or pleasant or like, oh yes, this is part of the journey. Just more like, fuck, this sucks. It's like, how many times is my tire gonna blow out? How many times am I gonna be on the interstate? You know,
well, the wonderful story of Milarepa and Marpa. How many times does he blow that house down? He had to rebuild it. It's this. That analogy is exactly what you're talking about.
I'll take that. For those of you who don't know, which one was the sorcerer? Not Milarepa. What's his name? The other one.
Marpa.
Marpa was the sorcerer, or was it Milarepa?
Milarepa was the sorcerer, but so Milarepa was the guru.
Which Marpa is the guru?
Yeah.
So Milarepa is a sorcerer, and if you don't think there's still sorcerers, you just need to, like, I don't know, read Art of the Deal, or like, sorcery is business. Like, it's when you use your
action
cities.
And result.
Yeah, but it's doing like kind of like it's exploiting people. But in this case, we'll just say he was a sorcerer, use magic or whatever. He kills people. Somehow, even though he's killed people, which, by the way, this is a recurring theme in Buddhism. Another serial killer was one of the devotees of Buddha. He still gets lucky enough to wind up with like this great teacher. And to purify all the shitty karma you get. I think he killed his family. Like, this is a fucked dude.
I don't know about that.
Something awful. Like, he wasn't like just like he turned someone into a frog. Like, he wasn't great. And so, what was it he had to build? His teacher's like, build
house. Build a house, and I'll let you know whether or not I will take you on once you build the house. He'd build the house. Marpa would go over, sorry.
Knocks
destroy this house. Start again.
He had to destroy the house himself. So he's got to not just build the house, he's got to do the demolition of that house that he built. And he made him do this in countless times. And then finally he took him on as a student. But at least in that situation, you still have this great teacher who's paying attention to you, giving you some instruction, even though probably the fourth or fifth iteration of this freaking house he built, he's like, I know he's knocking it down. But in that case, you have this direct contact with a living teacher. In the case of what I think a lot of us are going through, we might have contact through like Love, Serve, Remember Foundation, through the classes, through the retreats, through whoever our own spiritual community is, the books, the audibles, whatever. But there isn't the direct contact that you had, that Ram Dass had. There isn't that. So the demolition, the self-demolition of this bullshit spiritual house that we're all doing, it feels a little more like it's happening in the void, because there's no like brilliant enlightened being coming around being like, oh, just build it one more time.
Age-old question, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, you're a good example. You connected with that being, which we can't really have a name for it, except the one I like to use is a being that no longer, the duality is gone, right? The way that we are split inside ourselves, that we understand, and which is what you're talking about, good Duncan and shitty Duncan, right?
Yeah.
The way and that's how we relate with ourselves, right? We absolutely judge every bullshit thing that we do, every bad motivation, every all self-interest, self-cherishing. We judge it all. And here we are.
I know.
Here we are. And the fact is, you can't open up and become free of the stuff that makes us so unhappy unless you have the obstacles, which was what Marpa was doing with Milarepa.
You know, now that I think about it, I'm being a dick saying I don't have that. I'm sitting here talking to you, bitching about how I don't have anyone telling me to start building the house again.
I'm not that, but
But you represent a community that is that for me. I mean, you know, I don't. Yeah, I know that you don't. You don't let people put that on you, and I think that's a beautiful thing. But you do represent this community that is that as a community, you know, in different, they'll tell you different ways about rebuilding the house, and they maybe have different opinions cosmologically about what that house is supposed to be. But the general thing behind that, our community, is that the patience, the paramitas are all there. They're infinitely patient. They're infinitely compassionate. I mean, as a community, I mean, none of us are as the individual, but as the community, the recurring.
Well, sometimes, you know.
Yeah, but, sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. But listen, this really does boil down to not being happy with who we are in the moment.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
This really does boil down to not being happy with who we are in the moment.
Yeah.
Right? And the human part of us is okay. It really is. It's what I realized when I first met Ram Dass, and he was all, you know, his talks truthful about his fallibility and so on. I loved that because it allowed me to go, oh, okay, I don't have to kill myself. Yeah. Am I still killing myself? Let me tell you, Duncan, as big time as you are now going through what you're describing in this podcast, I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm, you know, I did this, a couple of things happened the last couple of days. We had a satsang here the other day, you know, in Ojai where the foundation is based, and, you know, just food and kirtan and all that. And this person from Israel actually is going through a terrible divorce, and he came over and he had found Ram Dass talks and me introducing or me on mind rolling, whatever. And he wrote me a note to talk about it. This is just, I had to sit there through this. It was a note to me that he read, that he had written about how he had been basically saved by the reality of meeting Ram Dass,
yeah,
you know, and it was, you know, it was touching. I did a thing last night where I did a Dharma thing to introduce that Life and Teachings of Ram Dass course, and I got all this other feedback, you know, that was all of that. Oh wow, we're really thankful to you and all this stuff. And I say to you that I'm doing what you did. The human part of me is, are you crazy out of your mind? I still got all of this
same
polarization inside myself. And that's what you're speaking to when you say there's the good dunk and the bad dunk. It's the polarization inside ourselves, which is why we are polarized as a country, big time, right?
Yeah.
It's just because of it's happening inside ourselves.
Right.
And that's the thing that we really have to address. And the only way it gets addressed is walking backwards, is fucking up. It's the only way it gets addressed. Otherwise, you're in a, you know, a gilded castle or something.
Right.
Everything's perfect. I got my twice a day. I got this, meditate, whatever right. it is. You got it all down. Nothing's going to happen unless that thing, you know, unless Marpa says, just shatter that house. Just, you
yeah.
know, just take it apart. Take it apart. We'll try again. And that's a good analogy for our lives of moving through all of these difficult situations and for me, the backtracking, I mean, that was really bad. And this happened a few days ago, this idiotic thing with technology, which gets me all the time, by the way.
Raghu,
I'm a sucker.
I'll tell you my version of that. So I go to do these shows in Springfield that I've been freaking out about. Amazing club, super great crowds, nothing to worry about. So then I'm like sitting, you know, in between shows having a blast. Now I'm like, God damn it. You had nothing to worry about. The whole time you were thinking about yourself, you should have been excited you're getting to do these shows. Then I'm in between shows. I have not been like saying goodbye to people because we got the baby. I don't want to get sick. Don't want to get the baby sick. But there's somebody standing there who clearly wanted to talk to me. And, you know, sometimes you get good at seeing people who like have something they've got to say. So at first I'm like, I can't talk. And then I told somebody, go get that guy. I know he had something to tell me. They got this guy, very sweet man. His son, I think 2 weeks before, died in a motorcycle accident. Oh. Yeah, like just the worst, you know, and we're both dads. You don't have to be a dad to understand how fucked that is, but when you're a dad, it's just like, what the fuck? And then, and again, like the context here is that I've just completely in my own mind, like failed. Like I've been thinking about like, I'm going to make these like refuge vows and I'm going to do it and go. I've just, the whole thing went out the window. And so this guy starts telling me about how, cause he's, you know, listening to conversations with us. With, you know, when I'm interviewing like Cornfield or whatever, been listening to the podcast for a long time, that he'd been sort of estranged from his son, but the last weeks, like, you know, he was applying all this stuff and being in the moment with his son. And like the last conversation they had was him saying, I love you. And his son saying, you're my best friend. And it's like the whole time I'm just thinking like, well, I'm glad the shit helped you, man. It's like I'm a fucking asshole. You know what I mean? Yeah, the sense of being a charlatan, the sense of hypocrisy, the sense of like, I don't remember the conversations you're telling me. I'm listening to him because it's like, Jesus, I need to remember that. I don't remember saying that. So you know what I mean? That's where it gets really intense and frustrating, because it's not just that you're sort of letting yourself down. You feel like, fuck, there's no way I can adhere. There's no way I'm going to be as enlightened as this dad who was talking to me, who instead of avoiding looking at his son's body because of conversations we've had, was there with the body, who, you know what I mean? It was trying to embrace the grief as much as trying to be there. And I literally am like barely able to handle my wife's broken wrist. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying, Raghu. That's where it gets, my mind. Nice.
I love talking to you because you can go way further than I in terms of how much you bash yourself. It's great. Oh, it makes me feel better.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Raghu.
Oh, God.
Maybe that'll be what I teach, how to beat the shit out of yourself when you fail as a spiritual person. Maybe that's my contribution.
It's a new
to
book.
The...
Yeah. It's a follow-up to the movie of me. We've done it, though. That's the reality. You know, we have done it. We have, your situation and mine, just look, I mean, we both went through very similar things. We were both judging what our projection is of who we should be in this world, you know. And meanwhile, what's happening is happening. People are opening up as a result of whatever interactions we have, like with every one of us. It doesn't have to be a public figure, podcast, comedian, none of it. I mean, you are meeting people every day, and whatever it is that's in you that is generous is being shared. Just that simple fact. So the killing of ourselves because we feel we're not fulfilling the projection of what a dharmic being is fun. You know, we got to think of it as fun. Okay, there's no other way to look at it. I mean, it's just fun.
It is fun. I guess you're right. There's some kind of sport to it, I guess. There is something sort of vaguely comedic about it, even. Yeah. Is who, it's like, I guess the question is, who do we think we are? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Who the fuck do we think we are?
What grandiose ideas we have of ourselves that we shouldn't fall back under any circumstances.
Right.
You know,
and this is it.
Yeah.
We've done it.
It's the same
thing.
This guy's talking to you. Of course, he's in, you know, this is a tragic situation of one's son dying in a violent accident. And he's telling you this, you know, and I'm sitting there listening to someone praise me and I'm going, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
The same kind of a thing, you know, except it's how much you pay attention to those thoughts.
Right.
It's how much you pay attention.
Right.
Really. I mean, we do this. And it is human on one level, and the other level, that's why a great teacher like Ram Dass came along and said, hey, this sense of seriousness about me, take a look at that.
Right.
Okay? Why do you have such a tremendous sense of seriousness about you and your life? You know?
Right.
How about taking it a little bit more lightly, and then you stop beating yourself to death every time you fall back?
Yeah.
I think that's reality.
It. Thank you. I mean, I'm so glad that I have you. I mean, I'm lucky. I get to like...
I am $500 an hour for all of my...
I know. You've gone up on your rate a little bit.
Yeah, I know. Because things got tougher, and I fall back myself. I need to take some of that money and go to my therapist.
I know. You got to take all the shit, all the letters you get and all the things, and go to your therapist with it so they could tell you it's okay.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe that's the sangha. Maybe that's all we're doing is just telling each other it's okay.
Well, hey, let's go to the key to everything. Thich Nhat Hanh, the great Vietnamese Buddhist monk who died a few years ago. The next Buddha is the Sangha, Satsang.
Yeah.
And that is what you and I are doing and, you know, sharing it with your constituency. And that's what we're doing. That's all we can do is share with each other, you know.
Right.
And this is extraordinary support. And we understand that we're all going through the same thing. You're looking at me like, okay, you've been doing this a few more decades than I have. And I'm looking at you going, you know, it doesn't make any difference. It's not sequential at all. You know, we're going to go back into these modes of defense mechanisms and protect. Everything we wrote about, or we recorded on the movie of me is real. You know?
Oh, I know. I mean, and I think that maybe if there isn't, what's good about this is it's like this is, at least in my experience, more what it looks like. You know what it looks like. It's not in at the retreats and stuff, the conversations you get into and the sort of meandering nature of those conversations that inevitably leads to some synchronicity where you're like, what the fuck? It's uncontrollable. Maybe that's why it sucks too, is it's like, you know, it's of all the things you would want to control, it would be your relationship with the divine consciousness. Of all the phone numbers you would want to work whenever you wanted to call that number, that would be the one. And yet that is the one that is so impossible to control. Jesus on the cross said, Father, why have you forsaken me? Like, That's what happens when you're human, is you just got a bad Wi-Fi connection to the ultimate.
Yeah. You know what happened to me? I mean, I know we're almost done here, but what happened to me, it just came up. I had a really bad tooth problem. I went to the dentist. Anyhow, they put me on nitrous gas, which always gets me into a psychedelic something or other. And I did, and then suddenly, Neem Karoli Baba was in front of me, and I'm seeing him, and feeling him, and that presence, and I start thinking of all the. It's like Ram Dass when he sat down in front of him for the first time, and he knew that he knew everything about him because you know he had talked to him about his mother's passing and exactly what happened, spleen, and all that stuff. And then he's sitting there thinking all this bullshit in his head and going, oh my God, he knows that, he knows this stuff, and I'm just a really bad person. I was having the same thing in the dentist chair, okay? And this is a couple of years ago, maybe. And what I heard was, it absolutely doesn't matter whatever you think about yourself, or whatever you think in relation to your world has anything to do with your relation with the divine.
Wow, that's nothing. So wild.
So I felt so free.
That's
okay.
So good.
I'm not a shithead. Okay, it's great. Right. But did I fall back? Yeah. And so, we have to give ourselves the permission to fall back, and that's what's difficult, very difficult.
Permission to fall back, granted. I'll take it. Thank you, Raghu. I'm sorry I emotionally dumped on you this whole episode.
It's perfect.
Intentionally avoiding conversations with people like you because I feel like such a piece of shit that it's like, I don't even want to talk anymore. Like I'm just gonna go Nietzsche, and I'm going to start reading Nietzsche.
How about a little Sartre? Jean-Paul Sartre would be good.
Yeah, nausea, that's all there is. Nausea.
Hey, can I plug...
yeah, of course.
Reimagine the Life and Teachings of Ram Dass, which starting this week, but it's still open for registration, everybody. Just go to ramdass.org/reimagined, and you'll be taken through, and you'll see what's entailed. And I listened to one of the talks in there. I listened to all of them, but the first one is Ram Dass going through into India, and it describes with Bhagavan Dass, right?
Yeah.
The surfer from Laguna Beach, and he describes in detail going into. He was in Benares, I believe. And walking barefoot because he was trying to be like a mendicant, a sadhu.
Yeah.
And he describes in detail avoiding the piles of shit, human, animal. And then the worst was, how they eat this betel nut stuff, with tobacco. And it's like a red juice that they spit out. So he's dancing between shit and betel juice. That alone,
that's so cool. I didn't even know that existed, that lecture. That's so cool because most of us have like the sort of like the main hits. And like that whatever that experience was with him and Bhagavan Dass, I always wondered about the details of that, what that must have been like.
Yeah, like you think, be here now. Is a the iconic phrase. We actually trademarked it, the foundation. And the reality was Ram Dass just kept going on about his past experiences with acid and Millbrook and Leary, and finally Bhagavan Dass was looking out the window. He turned back to him and says, "Oh, for God's sakes, can you just shut up and be here now?"
Oh,
that's how it happened.
I know, and that was the perfect. That really ate at Ram Dass. I know that. That was like such a slap down, and we've all had it. If you've been around any like spiritual people like that, or people who are, I don't want to use hierarchy here, but they do not feed your ego. And God damn, you want them to. You want them to be like, wow, you are amazing. And they won't do it. and it burns. It like you in City Mods, it burns.
Yeah, and you know, I needed that, and just like Milarepa needed Marpa to just destroy that house. How many times?
Friend, back to building my dumb old house again.
Gotta
like start again, find some rocks, figure it out. But I really appreciate your time. And folks, obviously take this. What about the retreat? Is that already sold out for Hawaii, or is that too soon to mention that?
The retreat in Boone is not sold out. It's a wonderful retreat in Boone, North Carolina, which you can find on ramdas.org. And
people,
it is still available in the most beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains. It's really lovely.
In Hawaii.
But Duncan, you are coming to Maui this year.
To teach the rosary.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm going to be there this year, and I can't wait. I'm so excited. It sucks missing
you. We'll talk about that later. Okay,
Raghu, you are the best.
Thank you, Duncan.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Love it.
Thank you.
Ramna.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time
for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
That was Raghu Marcus. Don't forget, you can find our book, The Movie of Me to the Movie of We, on Audible. Come see my live shows. Big thank you to our sponsors. And if you want to start seeing video versions of the DTFH, I've slowly started uploading those on my YouTube channel, which is YouTube Duncan Trussell. So subscribe over there if you want to see the entirety of the Stephen Armstrong interview that I did with a misinformation expert. That is at my YouTube channel, which is Duncan Trussell on YouTube. All right, everybody, I'll see you next week. Until then, Hare Krishna.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.